الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات، فمن كان منكم مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر، وعلى الذين يطيقونه فدية طعام مسكين، فمن تطوع خيرا فهو خير له، وأن تصوموا خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us not only to be part of a great day, but He has also blessed us to be part of a very great month. It is a month in which where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it has been given to other nations and it is also given to you. And everything in life ought to have a purpose. And everything in life does have a purpose. And when we forget the purpose of the thing that we are part of, if you are a student and you forget the purpose of being a student, whether it's a student of the college that you are part of, or high school, or student of the Quran, or hadith, or fiqh, once you forget that given purpose, then gradually you start going down a slippery slope. So that is why in the deen there is a thing called the ahkam and there is a thing called the maqasid. It's a very simple thing and we all understand it very well. And the ahkam refers to those rules and regulations regarding the thing that you are wanting to do. So if you want to be in business, what are the laws, rules and regulations regarding business? It's very important. And the second part is, what is the purpose of doing business? And when we forget these basic things when it comes to fasting, that means, for example, we just fast, but we don't know the purpose. We fast, but we don't know the rules and regulations. Then how are we going to attain the objective that Allah wishes for us to attain? And this is very, very important. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has certain expectations of us. And therefore it is very important that we don't just fast. Fasting is very important. But we have to understand what is the beginning time, what is the ending time, and how to live between the beginning time and ending time. The do's and don'ts. Many people fast, but they don't perform the salah. Many people perform the salah, but they do it haphazardly in the month of Ramadan. People perform the salah, but they don't do it salah with jama'ah, especially when they have the ability to be able to doing it. As we know full well, the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ says that the reward for nafil will be that of the farad. So for example, out of the month of Ramadan, for nafil, you get the reward of nafil. But in the month of Ramadan, for the nafil, you get the reward of the farad. And if you do farad, that gains you not only greater reward, but also greater closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there is not just fasting, but rather it is the beginning time and the ending time and how we live throughout the day as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes for us to live during the course of that given day. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a reason for why we should fast. And another reason is to make us conscious of the rights of other human beings. Very, very important. There are people right now that are starving. Not starving because they are fasting. They are fasting sometimes 2 and 3 days in a row. And as people of faith, it is our duty to help out those individuals that are going through a moment and time of struggle. For some it may be financially, for others it may be regarding the diet or what they can consume and not consume. For everyone it is different. And the idea of fasting is to create this social awareness. And if we lack the social awareness, of what our brothers and sisters are going through, then what is the purpose of fasting? Where the Quran clearly says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. The idea of fasting is so you may attain consciousness throughout this month of Ramadan, including during the course of your fasting. So the consciousness will be different for every individual. For some it will be family level, for some it is community level, for some it is on a national level, depending on the strength that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. Another aspect of fasting is to make us close towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, they say, what is closeness? Al-Qurba. That closeness generally is measured by distance. So for example, you will measure exactly how close the person is next to you and how far away I am from you. And you'll say, well, the person next to me is 1 inch away or 1 meter away, and the other individual is this close or that close, etc. So the scholars were asking, when Allah uses the word closeness, what does Allah mean? It's a very beautiful question. What does Allah mean by closeness? And the scholars and the ulama have said that closeness in Islam has nothing to do with physical distance. The person next to you, can be very, very distant from Allah. The person on your right can be very distant from Allah. And the person on your left can be very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how do we attain that closeness? It is through the sujood in the month of Ramadan. Putting our head down and saying, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, O Allah, you are the most lofty, you are the most great, you are the most magnificent, you are the most pure. You are the one that I'm entirely in need of regarding my every transaction, whether it's the month of Ramadan or even out of the month of Ramadan. And yet, in the sujood, unfortunately, we're the most restless. Why is the sujood so long? Why don't we just get done with it? Some people even use the sujood to count how fast we are going in salah. That's not the purpose of sujood. So if you want closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the closeness is, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, in the Quran it comes in many places wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O Prophet of Allah, tell the people this, tell the people that. قُلْ, then tell the people something. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ قُلْ إِنِّي أَنَا النَّذِيرُ مُبِينٌ, etc., etc. O Prophet of Allah, tell. Here Allah didn't say, tell the people I'm close to them. Allah himself just says it. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي, that when my servants ask, سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي أَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, that inform them that I'm very close to them. The word قُلْ is not used here. Why? Because Allah is passing a very important message here. Very important. And the message is directly to the Ummah. And the message is that if we are not going to ask of Allah, then who is going to ask of Allah? And if we are not going to ask of Allah, Allah will create people that will ask of Him. Imagine today, for example, we came in, and it was told a brother converted to Islam. Imagine. You and I have been part of Islam for so many years. Have we ever felt proud to be a Muslim? Have you ever felt proud to be part of this given faith? If we have, what are we doing for it? And when you look at people that convert to Islam, you know, my brothers, just as a side note, you do not and you will never understand what new Muslims go through to become Muslims. We take it for granted. We take it for granted. The psychological shift that takes place in their minds, the struggle that they have to go through, the constant debate between what they used to believe in or not believe in and what they are believing in, it is a very, very powerful shift that they are going through. The struggle you and I will never understand as Muslims. Our children think they have it tough when they go to school and they say, well, you have a Muslim name, are you a Muslim? New Muslims, they have to sometimes sacrifice their families. They have to sacrifice their communities. They have to sacrifice their society. They have to sacrifice an entire lifestyle, whatever that lifestyle may have been. Whether it is spiritual or non-spiritual, you name it, whatever the combination is. The concept of fasting, because they also have fasting, certain religions out there. They also have a concept of charity. They also have a concept of prayer. They also have a concept of scripture. All those things have to now be changed. Imagine for a moment, and you and I call ourselves Muslims. Allah says in the Quran, just simple phrase, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu dkhulu fis-silmi kaffa. O you who believe, enter into Islam entirely. Imagine if I tell you that. Enter into Islam entirely. Automatically a resistance goes up. What you mean entirely? You mean I'm not a Muslim? You mean I'm not a Muslim? Well, why are you judging me? Imagine, as Muslims we are going through this. Why are you judging me? What you mean by entirely? The scholars are different. They have different opinion on this and on that. People pray like this and pray like that. People give zakah like this and like that. What you mean by entirely? If you and I are going through this as Muslims, can you imagine a person who's coming into Islam as a new Muslim, what they go through, not only before they come into Islam, but while they are part of Islam. And then they have to deal with each one of our nonsense. When they meet Brother Ali, he'll say, keep your name Ali, because my name is Ali. Then they meet Brother Tariq, and he says, Tariq has to do with the pathway and straight. Keep your name Tariq, because now you are the straight pathway. Every guy wants to give the new Muslim their name. And if they are sisters, they have a double problem. They want to give them their mother's name, and then they call their mother up. MashaAllah, a girl converted, mommy, I hope I can marry her. Make dua. SubhanAllah. The first question they ask the sister is, are you married? Imagine. And this is not one case, two case. We hear this repeated, not just in Utah, nationally. First, let them convert. Let them come into the deen. Let them understand the religion. Let them understand the basics of salah. Then you get people who will say, this is how you must pray and this is how you must do. You've got to go easy. Rasulullah for 13 years, he passed the message. La ilaha illallah. 13 years. That, oh, you who believe, turn towards one Allah. What did that mean? Slowly, slowly, put your life right. The other night, we read the ayah. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu idha kuntum min as-salah. Then another ayah regarding the concept of alcohol, regarding the aspect of eating, what foods to eat and not eat, what desires to follow and not follow. All these things didn't come overnight. They came very, very gradually. And right now, as an ummah, we are in a very gradual state. Yes, there is a lot of data out there. Data is there. But the understanding of the data is not fully there yet. And that is what the Taraweeh Salah is all about. It's about reflecting on these various ayah to make that data a reality for us. So in light of that, inshallah, let us now focus on a few ayah, inshallah, that we have recited to make us better understand what the Quran is all about. For example, the first thing we have to understand that Allah has created good and there is bad that is out there. Number one. Number two, shaitan has a place. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a weapon against shaitan. Now some people will say it's the month of Ramadan. So now shaitan is locked up. So if shaitan is locked up, why are we talking about shaitan? And the most easy way to make us realize that although shaitan is locked up, he has left behind certain footprints. He has left behind certain traces. And in the month of Ramadan, we have to do things that will make us move away from those traces. That's what the month of Ramadan is all about. So, for example, in the month of Ramadan, if you cannot stop lying, we cannot stop cheating, if we cannot get back to being the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes for us to be in its most pure form, then the ulama are unanimous on this. Now we cannot blame shaitan and we have to reflect upon ourselves. Out of Ramadan we can say, well, shaitan made me do X, Y, and Z. Shaitan is making me ignore my mother and father. Shaitan is making me not give money to the poor. Shaitan, you have all that. But in the month of Ramadan, if you can't do it, now it's no more shaitan. Now it is your nafs, who you are as a person. And that is something that has to be reformed. And this is exactly what every prophet came for. Last night we spoke about Shu'aib alayhi salam. وَإِلَىٰ مَدْيَنَا أَخْرَمْ شُعِيبًا قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ أَهْلٍ غَيْرُهُ. First message is اُعْبُدُ اللَّهَ, that worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do not worship anything besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was the first message. Thereafter, he came with a specific message for his people. And the Quran is written for all people, and the entire message of the Quran, we can't just say, well, that was for Shu'aib alayhi salam, it doesn't apply to us. The Quran is for this given book, is not only the parts of it that apply to the people of Shu'aib alayhi salam, but it also applies to us. And what's the message he gave to his people, and now the message is for us. وَلَا تَنْقُصُ الْمِكْيَالِ وَالْمِيزَانِ, that do not take part in deceiving people regarding your given transactions. Whatever your transaction may be, you have to be honest in it. And this is the disease that I think we all will go through. Sometimes out of fear, sometimes because thinking people are ignorant, whatever it may be, that we will take part in forms of shady transactions to attain us greater level of leverage. And Shu'aib alayhi salam is telling his people, وَلَا تَنْقُصُ الْمِكْيَالَ وَالْمِيزَانِ, that do not take part in all these type of deviations. وَلَا تَبْخَصُ النَّاسَ أَشْيَاءَكُمْ, and do not take part in deviating people. وَلَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ, and also do not take part in creating various forms of corruption on earth. So now again, the Quran wants us to reflect. And the reflection is very simple. That what are the things that I'm doing that is creating this level of false transactions, number one, and number two, creating this atmosphere wherein I'm polluting rather than creating a wonderful society. وَإِذْ زَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ وَعَمَالَهُمْ. Today we're going to be reading this part. وَقَالَ لَا غَالِبَ لَكُمُ الْيَوْمَ مِنَ النَّاسِ وَإِنِّي جَارٌ لَكُمْ فَلَمَّا تَرَأَتِ الْفِيَتَانِ نَكَصُ عَلَىٰ عَقِبَيْهِ وَقَالَ إِنِّي بَرِئٌ مِنْكَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ. What is the purpose of shaitan? The purpose of shaitan, وَإِذْ زَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ وَعَمَالَهُمْ. Understand this very, very well, whether you are religious or not religious. I repeat, whether you are religious or not religious. وَإِذْ زَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. Shaitan will beautify for you your a'mal. Shaitan will beautify for you your a'mal. Let's take for example the wearing of the scarf, right? You know, some people wear a scarf. I don't see anybody wearing it yet, so we can use that example. Now, did Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam wear a scarf? Yes, he did. He wore a turban, we know that. So wearing of a scarf, we know, is sunnah. But look at the way in which people do it nowadays. You ever saw people doing it, mashallah? They do it a certain way, and there must be a point at a certain place. Subhanallah. Now what are you going to say? Scarf is sunnah. Yes, wearing the scarf is sunnah. The way you're wearing it is not sunnah, because it has to have that certain point. Now, for example, if you're an ordinary fellow, you walk over there and you don't have that point, and the color is not a certain color, then they look at you as, he's not part of our community. He is an Arab from another place. They are the ordinary people. You don't worry about them. Or if they wear the right color, but they wear it the wrong way, he's just a visitor. He's not part of us. So again, whatever he does, he must be put down. It happened. There was a fellow that went overseas, right?
He just wore the scarf anyhow. Oh, they told him, bidah, bidah, move away, do this, do that. Next day, he wore a nice white outfit, and he wore the red scarf, and he wore it a certain way. Everything changed. All of a sudden, he went to the Rawdah Mubarak, that certain place where people stand near the Rasulullah. Thereafter, they accepted him, mashallah. Alhamdulillah, you can stand here, Shaykh. And they go to him nicely, nicely, slowly. When you're done, you can move. So when the scarf is wrong, bidah, bidah, move from here. When the scarf is right, mashallah, you know, you can stay a little bit longer. You see, وَإِذْ زَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. Same thing with, for example, wearing the hat. Some people, they won't wear the hat, mashallah, but you bring them in front, oh, they wear a double hat. They wear a double hat and they wear a scarf and everything around it. وَإِذْ زَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. The point I'm trying to make is, even religious things can be turned and shaitan can gain control over you. Religious things, a thing that looks wonderful, shaitan can make you do it such a way where that good thing becomes haram later on. So when we're doing something, we have to ask one question, one very important question. What does my Allah demand of me, and how did my Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam do it? And once you have that criterion, then inshallah, you'll notice shaitan will not be able to beautify for you that which is wrong in nature. وَإِذْ زَيِّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ وَعَمَالَهُمْ وَقَالَ لَا غَالِبَ لَكُمُ الْيَوْمَ مِنَ النَّاسِ وَإِنِّي جَارٌ لَكُمْ. And there will come a time, of course, where shaitan himself will slip and fall. And when he slips and fall, then Allah SWT will hold him accountable. And when Allah SWT holds him accountable, at that point he'll say, Inni bari minkum, inni ara ma la tarawna, inni akhaf Allah, inni bari, now I'm free from you. You and your Allah. Whatever happens to you, it's between you and your Allah. You go for it. What I can see, you cannot see. I can see the fire blazing. I can see people getting hurt. I can see people screaming. I can see people shouting. I can see people being torn apart. Now I'm free from you. You go your way. I go my way. So before that given day comes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us some beautiful advice, and turning at random, one of the beautiful advice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in the Quran, for example, is the following: خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدْ وَكُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا. Take towards beautifying of the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدْ. And take towards beautifying yourself when you come to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one. And eat that which is pure in nature. And one thing you must not do, especially in this month of Ramadan, is create any type of trespassing, whether it's regarding yourself or others. إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ. Because this is something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like. As I mentioned in the beginning, what is the purpose of this month? The purpose of this month is consciousness. And how do you attain consciousness? You attain consciousness, very simple, by asking one question continually throughout this month. What does my Allah expect of me right now? That's it. You're wearing your clothes, what does my Allah expect of me? You're going to the masjid, what does Allah expect of me? How do I go there? You're opening your fast, what does my Allah expect of me? You're about to pray, what does my Allah expect of me? That means, what are the thoughts do I allow to come into my mind and to my heart? When I'm meeting people, what does my Allah expect of me? When I'm seeing people, what does my Allah expect of me? That's the only question you have to ask repeatedly. And if you cannot get an answer, what does my Allah expect of me? Then you have to research in the Quran and Hadith. And research with a clean mind. There are two types of research we do. One research is, we look for the answers we like. That's what we do. We look for the answers we like. And if you want to find answers that you like, then I'm afraid we're not going to be able to make the necessary progress that we are supposed to make. So you have to look for the answers in relationship to what Allah is giving. How did the Prophet ﷺ live in accordance with the response? What the Sahaba had done and what the Tabi'een had done. That's why when we discussed in the beginning, fasting is about the ahkam and it's also about the maqasid. There are rules and regulations, but there is also a purpose of what Allah intends for us. And once we know what Allah intends for us through the Quran, through the Sunnah, through what the Fuqaha has said, then inshallah our life will become much more inshallah easier.